blah, 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 blah. Long intro that loses people. I'm actually talking, by the way. Don't worry. Hang in. This is where it kicks in and you get pumped. Bam! Boom! All right. Let's bring it down. I'm sorry. I hate shows that aren't, you know, as big as Corolla or Rogan. Have this 45 to 90 second intro, and it's like, hey, we're this podcast no one knows about. Just wait for it. Wait for it. No, you're not going to give us a fucking chance. I can't even listen to the show. Why would you? This is John Papagiorgio. You're listening to Papa's Football Podcast. I am joined by my personal short round, Howard Flood over here. Howard, what's up, man?
Hey, man, it's good to finally talk about something that isn't Ray Rice. I think that's one of my hopes for football today.
Yeah, well, that is what the league has become. If you want to see how much personality overshadows the league, at least sometimes, we had an entire slate of games yesterday, Sunday. Monday rolls around. No one could tell you if their team won or fucking lost. All they can tell you is about Ray Rice and how well he can swing a Mike Tyson's star punch.
Yeah, and you know what? That is a non-football story that we cover in your regular podcast, Papa's Basement. So we'll have a link to that if people want to listen to us talk about that. In the meantime, why don't we talk about football on the football show? How about that?
That's how I feel. Okay. To me, it's an entertainment story. We can talk about policy a little, and pretty much I don't believe that Goodell hadn't seen that video before, but it got out.
I'll put it this way. I haven't seen the video yet, and yet I knew before anything happened today of this release that he punched his then-fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Same story I heard before today.
Yeah.
So,
but you didn't actually see it, and that's what makes it bad.
We'll see, yeah. Listen to the other show for more in-depth coverage of that story. In the meantime, can we talk about some games, please?
Dude, that's all I really want. Here I am sounding the sports jock. All I want to do is get to the points and blah, 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 blah. No, trust me. We'll jack our dicks 45 minutes to Ray Rice in a bit on Papa's Basement. But for Papa's Football Podcast, yeah, what the fuck? Let's get crazy with it and talk about football games on a football show. And, you know, my skin shit the bed. I say my.
Oh, we got to lead with that, really?
It'll take 5 seconds. I just love saying my because I own them in part. You know, anyone who's a fan, my team, we did this. Don't you hate my and we?
Well,
is there anything worse?
Your team was terrible. I'd like to talk about someone who scored more than a touchdown. How about that?
Sure. Okay. I picked the three in what I thought were the three top games of the week. And we can run down that list. You can counterpoint.
I'd like to do that. I'd like you to try to make a statement, and I will shit on it.
Sure, you cannot shit on this. Statement number one, Atlanta ties the game at home against New Orleans late on a 51-yarder, I believe, goes on to win in overtime on another 51, 52-yard field goal. Last year, they were a goddamn laughingstock.
But Matty Ice led a comeback very impressively. He was the best quarterback yesterday, bar none.
He looks so creepy. He looks exactly like Peter North, the porn star.
Ah, yeah.
Google
Does he have that confidence?
Peter North, and after you get through 400 cum shot photos, and you actually see a photo of Peter North's face, you're going to go, holy shit, he does look like Matty Ice.
Matty Ice was definitely swinging a donkey dick yesterday, I'll tell you that. Like, that's a very impressive game. And I said it last week. I didn't think they were going to win yesterday, but I do believe that the Falcons are the number two team in the NFC South. I think that's a playoff-bound wild card
behind
team.
The Panthers. Gotcha.
No, I think they're going to end up falling behind New Orleans. I really do.
Well, probably. New Orleans is one of the elite of the NFL. I'm sorry. They're, for my money, I like them more. I see them as very similar to Green Bay. Didn't they wild card to get their Super Bowl? I could be wrong on that. But they're the NFC team that got, like, a Super Bowl in the last 6 years. They have the insane quarterback. They have the, you know, supposedly very cunning coach. I believe that in Sean Payton's case. Mike McCarthy's case, not so much lately.
Yeah, I don't buy that about McCarthy after watching that Thursday night game.
No, I do not. But Atlanta holding on, winning at home, that's big to me, man. They fucking ate balls last year.
Yeah, huge win for Atlanta. But, you know, let's see what happens when they go to New Orleans for the rematch.
They will lose. They will lose handily. But the fact that they're not 0-2, that they're not able to go 0-2 this year against New Orleans, that's big, man.
All right, man. Yeah, no, let's hear your second story then. What do you think was the next
sure.
major?
Here you go. If I told you one, this is the shittiest, most cliche written. I've read this in 5 football columns today already. I told you that one team in the AFC East was going to be 0-1 and the other three would be 1-0 come Monday, would you have picked the Patriots to be that 0-1 team? No, none of us would. And yet that's the case, man.
All right, well,
that's fucking weird.
I'm glad I do have the chance to shit on you this early, because it'd suck if we just circle jerked each other for the entire episode.
Really? You don't want to put our shafts just tip to tip and then one long stroke covering both of them?
Off the air.
Nice.
But while we're on the mics.
For the Instagram.
Let me tell you why it's not that surprising for Miami to have beaten New England. I wouldn't have picked it before yesterday, but I looked at the stat sheet and here's the problem with New England. They can't stop the run. They didn't last year. They were third worst in the league at stopping the run last year. So what's going to change this year? It's not like they beefed up their defensive line, really. So guess what happened? Between Lamar Miller and Knowshon Moreno, their recent
pickup. Did Moreno
pickup,
cry all over the field and then skate on the sludge like a Mega Man villain?
Dude, anybody who averages more than 5 yards a carry should be crying afterwards, just thanking God for an amazing performance. Because he ran roughshod over that Patriots rush defense. So I'm not buying the hype whatsoever right now about Miami. I think they might start the season as well as 6-1, but I think they're just going to fade based on the strength of schedule they have. I think the end of the season is going to be rough for them, and the reality is they're probably going to lose to the Jets twice. That's the way I look at that division. I think the Jets are a better team than the Dolphins, so don't buy the hype.
Okay, I was with you until that Jets shit. Then you lost me. But at least give me this. Didn't they win? Here's where prep would help. Did they not beat New England? I think off the top of my head, like 33-20. It wasn't no last minute field goal shit.
But it was primarily driven by the running game.
So that's how Seattle wins.
Yeah, but guess what? The Jets had one of the historically great run defenses last year.
Oh, so they're going to stop the Dolphins' offense. And then Geno's going to beat him?
As a matter of fact, Geno Smith had an excellent game this past week. So
did he not have like 2 turnovers in the early going?
I think he only had one.
Only one? Okay.
I believe it was one. He had a good game, man. He was averaging about 10 yards a pass, you know, had a couple touchdowns. So I feel like Geno is the right guy, man.
You're still talking about him.
I still am half chub for Gino. What
like
can
he's
I say,
a mentally
man?
Challenged kid that you put in work release, and it's like he didn't grab any tits and start masturbating. He didn't eat any garbage. He did all right. He even washed a table or two in the cafeteria.
I'm just saying, he doesn't have to play great. Did you see what Rex Ryan was able to do with Mark Sanchez as his quarterback? Okay.
Yeah, get a lot of turnovers and lose.
He won 2 playoff games in 2 different postseasons.
No, the first two, he got to the AFC Championship, man.
Yeah.
It wasn't a playoff game. They went fucking far.
No, that's what I'm saying. They won 2 playoff games in each of those postseasons.
Okay,
that's
I got
what
I'm you. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were deep in the day.
I'm saying Geno Smith. This is not a high bar. I think Geno Smith is better than Mark Sanchez. He didn't look it last year, but I think he's better than that.
But is that enough? Remains to be seen.
It's enough to be better than the Dolphins. That's what I'm telling you, man. That's what I'm telling you.
All right. For me, game 3, most fascinating shit. You can say that the Seahawks took it to Green Bay, and that was a great display for them. But for my money, out of the NFC West, San Fran dismembered the Cowboys.
Come on, man.
That was sick.
Tony,
don't even... Dude, you can shit all you want on the Cowboys' defense. They were supposed to be, again, a word I've read 18 times, historically bad. Their offense was supposed to keep them in games, however.
Look, that was a preseason game. That was preseason plus for Tony Romo. That's what happened. And so the first quarter, the Dallas offense handed San Francisco 21 points. Just like that.
It was amazing.
I'm not going to buy into San Francisco just based on Dallas being a really terrible team like this first week. Tony Romo didn't really play much in the preseason. So this to me is one of the big problems. I'm always rooting for the players and I want the union to do well by the players. But What I hate the most about the new collective bargaining agreement is week one football is sloppy. There's just
not enough
practice that goes into the game.
If you haven't had sex in 5 months and someone's good enough to crawl on top of you, you're not going to stud out.
Just, I don't think it's revisionist history for me to say that prior to this most recent collective bargaining agreement, week one football was cleaner. I don't think there was a single game this weekend where both teams played immaculately.
When they actually practiced in the offseason?
Yeah.
When they could beat each other and work for more than an hour a day? Yeah, I'll give you that.
You could actually look at week one and like have a pretty strong idea who was going to be good this year. But, you know, I can't base anything about the New England Patriots based on the dud they dropped on Sunday. How am I supposed to know whether or not that's a great team?
There's my articulate reply. All right, what were your games then?
For me, I actually, the way I look at it, you can't tell a whole lot from week one now because everybody kind of sucks.
Yeah, but there's still amazingly watchable shit.
So here's what I see from this weekend that kind of caught my eye. You had two teams that lost at home against bad squads. Like, it's really going to hurt the Bears that they lost at home to Buffalo. And it's really going to hurt Kansas City that they lost to Tennessee. Those are rough things.
Those were two very unexpected results.
And officially, I'm putting both those teams outside of the playoff picture because they lost to shit teams on the like at home. So.
I feel way more gooderist right. to nail it real right. Like, I feel much better about the Bears' chances, than especially after what I saw happen with Green Bay, who I think the wheels might be coming off that shit. But I like their odds a lot more than I do the Chiefs, man. The Chiefs might have like historically overachieved last year. Not historically, but overachieved.
Give them this week. They're playing Denver this week, so we'll see what they do.
Yeah, they'll 0-2. That's what they'll do.
But I wasn't impressed by Denver's performance this week. I think in the second half.
Once I zoned out at halftime and I left at halftime, I thought they were the best team I'd ever seen. And then I came back from taking a, you know, dropping a deuce, eating some dinner, and all of a sudden we had a game.
I think Peyton Manning's back to working with the team that he had in 2012 where there's no Eric Decker. Right now, Welker's suspended, but they're expecting Monty Ball to be their full-time running back. And he's never played a full season on his own. I really question the way that this offense is going to be multidimensional. So I have a hard time.
Defense was
That's
sick.
True. I have a hard time believing that they're going to be able to repeat the same performance to take the AFC title that they had last year. I think they're going to be vulnerable
throughout
the playoffs.
But will they need to be the same offensive team with the much improved defense?
I think they're always going to be a Joe Flacco Hail Mary pass from losing in the playoffs. And that's their problem, these playoffs. So I there's no question they'll make them, but I don't think it'll be blowing people out on the way to the Super Bowl. So
again, I think they would counter with, we need to beat everyone by 1 point as long as we get through the Super Bowl that way.
Put it this way, how good did Seattle look, man?
Seattle looked pretty good, but
they picked up where they left off, period.
Yeah, but I would just counter with, the season's long as shit, man. Crazy things happen. Russell Wilson can be typing with the aid of a helper monkey by the end of the season with one wrong hit.
I'll put it this way. You know me. I love Russell Wilson and the team that he plays on.
Yeah.
I really...
You do, unfortunately.
I really do question why people aren't trying to stop Marshawn Lynch first. Like, you really have to force Russell Wilson to beat you at this point. You have to shut down Marshawn Lynch. Because if you're going to let him do whatever he wants, it opens up the passing game unbelievably. You have to make Russell Wilson beat you. I don't see anybody beating Seattle if they're not going to try to stop the run first. So,
all right. Well, what other games you got? Did we do all three?
Before we go to our guest caller, the last game I really want to point out is Minnesota. Minnesota stomped St. Louis, which, you know, is suffering a bit under the fact that Bradford's out for the season. However, they stomped them. Minnesota absolutely put a hurt in another NFL team, 34-6.
Yeah, and who? Shit! What was the name of their coach? Who's his debut?
Zimmer, right?
Zimmer. Yeah. Zimmerman. I don't know.
Yeah, but
no, wait, he didn't shoot a black man in a hoodie. It's Zimmer. You're correct.
It's My thing with them is they finally have an offense that might be able to hang with the big boys. That really could be a playoff team this year. I already have them finishing above the Bears just based on one game.
All right, guys, this is the segment we are calling Fan Focus for the moment. That name sounds very much like Fag Focus. A little too close for my taste. But The whole concept is we are getting in touch with friends of ours who are fans of teams across the league. And the Howard, you're moving your sweet half Asian lips. What did you want to add?
Yeah, no, I get tired of listening to you talk about the fucking Redskins every time. So I think it's important to have people who like other teams that are better than the Redskins to come and talk about their shit once in a while.
I mean, yeah, well, not this week.
Not this week.
Not this week. This week we have Mr. Josh Burns of Big Brown and Burnsy podcast fame. I love how I say podcast. You hear a show name and you're like, I'm paying attention. And then you add podcast at the end. Ah, yeah. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. And I guess at this point, the Skins and the Browns are both 0-1, so we're on an even playing field at this point.
I disagree with you, sir. I disagree with you. The Browns have scored multiple touchdowns this season, so I think they have a leg up on the hapless Redskins.
Oh, I'm not going to argue with it. I'll take that right now.
Yeah.
I will absolutely take that. But you know what? I don't buy into moral victories. A W is a W, an L is an L. And, I did get to see some of the game yesterday against the Steelers, which is a huge rival for Cleveland, although I don't understand how it still is when Big Ben's 18-1 all time against Cleveland.
Yeah, I remember before the 2000s, someone described the rivalry between the Yankees and Sox as the rivalry between a hammer and nails.
And that's, right.
That's kind of how I feel about the Browns and Steelers. For those that missed the game, going into halftime, it was what, 27-0 or 27-3?
27-3 going into halftime. Everyone at that point, on the tweeters was saying, okay, here, same old Cleveland, here we go again. Everyone's yelling, calling for Manziel to get in there. Johnny Football, it's his time already.
Jeez.
Pull Hoyer out, and then
it's so fast. I was rooting for Cousins benching 8 minutes into the game.
Yeah, 27-3, everyone's at that point is giving up. Okay, here we go. Because it's right falls in line with what Cleveland does every opener. I mean, they do not win the first game of the season ever. So that's the way they're looking at it. Going to halftime 27-3. Before you know it, it's tied up 27-27. Crowell has two touchdowns. Terrence West, by the way, rookie, is lit up for 100 yards. No one saw that coming. Ben Tate got hurt. So this kid comes out of nowhere, rushes for 100 yards, which is great. And then Hoyer throws a touchdown pass. So now it's tied up with 2 minutes left to go in the game. Pittsburgh takes over and throws a couple completions. And then your boy Sweezum.
Oh, yeah. Sweezum.
Sweezum. Sweezum.
Yeah.
The old Redskins kicker boots one to with no time left to win the game 30-27.
Yeah,
that's just devastating.
97 yards out, probably. As long as he's not in the burgundy and gold, he's fucking bionic.
He can't. Yeah, with the Skins, he couldn't hit a fucking extra point. But
he was run out of town
to beat the Browns. Hell, he's got that covered. So, at the end of the day, it's a loss. They keep talking about moral victories, but when you're 2-for-11 on third downs, it looks much like what the Buckeyes did the day before. They cannot convert on third down. 19-for-31 with a touchdown and, a little over 2.25 yards passing. Not a bad stat line to have, but Big Ben threw for like 345 or 350 yards or something like that. And again, 18-1, you can't get much better than that. But I'll tell you what I was impressed with, aside from the comeback, that Jean-Claude Van Damme type of kick that Antonio Smith had.
Oh my God.
That was
that GIF file has been making the rounds on the internet.
Play of the day. The AP guy who took that snapshot just deserves so much money. That's an unbelievable pick.
Not the snapshot. You actually can just find the GIF and you find it. It just plays over and over. What was the exact play again, Josh?
That was the run back. That was when Antonio Smith was running back and
he tried to hurdle the kicker.
Yeah, that poor punter. And when you see it, the replay, it's like you can, you almost see him about to go for the leap, and then I swear, like Bill Superfoot Wallace must have just entered this guy's subconscious and just came out with like a bicycle kick almost to the head. Like,
yeah, it's amazing. Just look it up. Look up Cleveland kicker gets kicked or something like that, and you'll find the GIF file, or I'm sorry, the GIF file of it. But yeah, it's like he's trying. The Steelers return dude is trying to hurdle him with the ball, and instead it looks like he's delivering a fucking fatality. Like, it's that. Like, the guy is on his knees, and it's just kapow, man. Toes right to the chin. Is he okay, by the way, or what?
I heard I heard nothing about an injury, so I'm assuming he wasn't. Because last year when that punter got creamed against the Steelers, I think it was the Bengals punter?
Bengals. I was going to say, he was out for like...
Yeah, no, he had a broken jaw, man. Yeah, no, it was like dunzo for the year. No, this guy, I don't think anything of that sort. Antonio Brown is not as big as James Harrison, I think. I can't remember who did that last year. But anyway, yeah, last year's was horrible. This guy not even close to being as hurt, other than his ego. Because that was almost my profile pic on Facebook today. I saw that photo. I was like, that's amazing. Who got that photo?
The kickers get enough shit as it is just because they're kickers.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you get just UFC, just a spike to the face.
I'm sorry, but like those guys make a half mil at least. So if you told me I could get a half mil this year to get kicked in the face a couple times, I'd probably take it. Especially if you gave me a face mask.
I would take it in the balls for 100K.
I mean, wasn't the stat like the median like salary because teams carry so few kickers that they're actually like the highest paid position?
Yeah, I believe that the highest median for any position might be punter.
Well, probably what, like a mil a year or something like that?
Like for a decent one, yeah. I mean, that's probably that's probably like middle of the pack. You're paying like 1.2.
It's just such a sweet gig. Everyone else is running laps. You're just smoking it cool, waiting for him to get done so you can kick a few more times in practice.
Yeah, the kicker from the replacements is just about what I picture for every kicker. Like, just a little bit like a Janikowski gut, and then, you know, but it's such a thankless job because if you miss, you're just ostracized. Oh, I mean, you're already showering. You're already a Michael Sam showering by yourself.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to associate with you because you're the kicker. And then,
you miss. You know the name Scott Norwood, right? I think everybody does at this point. It's like, how many years ago did he miss that kick for Buffalo? It's just, it's been decades, and I hear the name Scott Norwood, I'm like, oh, yeah, that dude who missed. Couldn't tell you any kickers who ever make a field goal, but, yeah, I remember the ones who missed.
Vinatieri, and that's all I got.
True. All right.
I mean, wasn't that was referenced in, like, Pet Detective, wasn't it? Like, basically.
Yeah, the whole concept was laces out.
I mean,
Einhorn shit the bed, apparently.
Hey, I got a lingering question from the offseason. Now, you're an Ohio guy, and this is why I got to ask you this. But to me, now granted, I hate Texas A&M since I went to UT Austin, but I just don't understand why anybody in Cleveland will be rooting for Johnny Manziel to take Brian Hoyer's job. Brian Hoyer is a local guy, I thought. So
He is. He went to St. Ignatius. He's from the area.
So how's that work? Like, why are people so interested in not even giving him a chance to take this team as far as it can go this year?
By the way, I know this is an NFL segment, but what happened to Texas? My God, this weekend.
It's it's going to be a rebuilding decade.
I think that. For once, there's some with Johnny Football coming there was some positive attention to Cleveland. I mean, they've had just nightmarish quarterbacks. They've had a front office that's been a nightmare. They've had constant turnover with coaching. The head coaches, the presidents, the general managers, they've had so much turnover that when a superstar came, or, you know, who was perceived as a superstar and just the excitement that he brought, you know, Cleveland people are just looking for something. I mean, this was before LeBron made his decision to come back.
Right.
The Indians might have a chance to make the playoffs for the second year in a row with a wild card, but I think that they just wanted, you know, they're just looking for someone to save that franchise. And, you know, after Hoyer got hurt after, you know, three games last year, with this coming in, it's just the excitement level and the fact that Browns jerseys and shirts are selling because of the Browns. I mean, come on, who's buying dog Brown shirts? So, but Yeah, you know, I think it is. There's something to be said. The fact that they just kind of completely just at that point, yeah, like you said, gave up on the hometown boy. It was just like, you know what, we want someone who, you know, who's on Instagram and going to Vegas with Gronkowski and just banging a bunch of girls. I don't know.
I don't give a shit where a dude's from if he can help a team win.
You know, the Skins might be you know, going to the third string, or might maybe pulling a Colt McCoy out at some point.
I will bust out my college knowledge here. Colt McCoy is the one that had the gimp arm in the national championship, correct?
That is correct.
Yes,
that is correct.
He was hit and was like, I can't feel my arm. And Texas proceeded to be held down and mouth and ass fucked on a national stage.
All right, if you guys want to talk Texas football, I'm like one of the few Texas fans who will say, we lost that game for sure. Nobody can say if McCoy had stayed in the game, it would have been a different game. Because to me, that was like the first or second drive that they were coming back to after like 5 weeks off of football. And so I don't understand why, after that long without playing in a competitive game, you have your quarterback sneak against the top defense in college football. Because he's about to get smashed by
a
pro-quality
buzzsaws, right?
Yeah, I'm just like, don't send your quarterback into the heart of the defense on his first drive back. He's just getting touched for the first time in 5 weeks by someone who isn't his teammate. This is a terrible idea. So, yeah. No, we lost that game. Absolutely.
All right, Josh, I appreciate it, man. If anyone at home, all six of our listeners, if they want to catch up with Big Brown and Burnsy, where can they find the show?
Yeah, you can check us out. We're also part of this Chupacabra Radio Network now.
Okay.
With a few other shows, but BigBrownAndBurnsy.com, Facebook, at Big Brown Burnsy, and on the Twitter sphere. Who are you going to call to find, like, a Jacksonville Jaguar fan? Are you going to be able to track one of them down?
All right, I already got one.
Do we?
Got one. Secret weapon, yes.
Wow.
Your reach is extensive. I didn't realize.
I mean, there's only 17 weeks in the season, bro. I thought we could really go with half the team.
That's true, but I'm just saying Jags are covered if we go that way.
Oh, man.
I'm looking forward to doing a collab with you. We'll get the Big Brown fella out here. He's a Skins fan as well, but we'll talk more important issues when we get together. More important than the NFL.
All right, man. Thanks again, Josh.
Hey, fellas, take care.
Appreciate it, man.
I cut him 2 seconds too early. I wanted to sound all pro and punch out, and instead we just get later, and the power actually dies on his call as I hit the off button. It could not have sounded. It was like the help me at the end of the first fly with the little man-faced spider in the web.
Anytime you lose your virginity, there's going to be a couple of kinks. So we have a first call in for the Fan in Focus section. Fan in Focus?
That wasn't even what the fuck we called it.
We called it Fan Focus, but I just renamed it Fan in Focus.
Fan in Focus. I like that.
See, now you like it.
It sounds better in Fag Focus or whatever the first one was.
You're a horrible person.
All right. Let's get to next week's games. Howard, you're the one handling this preview. I love it. Just like sex, I like it when I have to do nothing and simply get to enjoy. What do we got coming up? Next week's games. What are the highlights? Or if you're giving them all to us, just let me know, sir.
No. One of the things we do here is we only talk about the games that are really worth your time. I don't know about you guys at home, but I feel like for most people, you can only catch a couple every week. It's not just the fact that, I don't have DirecTV, but it's also one of those things where I got shit to do on the weekends, so I really got to pick my battles. And I think this week, I really am going to fight to watch all the primetime games, because those are the ones that are critical.
What are they?
Pittsburgh's playing Baltimore on Thursday.
I was just going to actually, before we even got to that, I was like, are we already on the Thursday games? Did that kick in like immediately this year?
Yeah, man. I got a lady boner for that game. That's going to be fantastic. Philly and Indy are playing on Monday night, so that's a hard one to pass up if you want to watch a little bit of offense. At least till, you know, like 10 o'clock. I'll probably get bored by halftime of that. But, no, it's definitely worth tuning in at least partly on Monday. And then, I don't know, let me ask you about the Sunday night game. This is the one that I'm on the fence about. Do you want to watch Chicago play at San Francisco?
Yeah, man, yeah. I like Trestman.
Okay.
With the Bears. I find that fascinating at the very least. I want to see if last week was a fluke. And you're the one jacking it, saying that the 49ers ain't shit.
I didn't say they ain't shit, but...
You said it in those exact words.
Come on,
then you
man.
Said Wu-Tang ain't nothing to fuck with and grabbed your balls.
But are you really going to, like, what's on regular TV? You usually watch HBO on Sunday nights, right?
Yeah, I think that's the start of the final season of Boardwalk Empire, because I believe Leftovers ended last night. So, I you know, fuck, I'll watch Boardwalk Empire Monday morning in my underwear on demand.
All right,
or
you're going to give
realistically,
priority.
Realistically, I'll just watch it midnight to one.
All right, so you're giving priority to NFL over Boardwalk Empire.
It depends. Right. I mean, fuck it. The game's 28-0 at the end of the first quarter. I'm out. You know,
right.
What am I going to do that?
But yeah, as far as the 1 o'clock games, I really only see two that jump out at me. Unfortunately, we live in the Washington area, so they're going to force us to watch Jacksonville at Washington, which
is
garbage. Absolute garbage.
Yeah, I want to 0-2. I want to 0-2, and I want to trade Griffin. Like, I want to go 0-16. I want to get another quarterback because he's the one that's going to save us all, and then we'll fire Gruden, and the next coach will save us all.
Let's stop talking about your terrible team. Let's talk about New England at Minnesota. That's a game that's going to tell us about two teams going in different directions right now.
Yeah, given the week one results, that is a very interesting game, and I don't think anyone picked it to be. I think you all expected New England head into that shit 1-0. Minnesota 0-1, and it's pretty cool now that the shoe's on the other foot for both of them.
So, and I didn't even mention in our first bit, but the game I watched the most closely this past weekend, it was Baltimore versus Cincinnati. And watching that Cincinnati offense operate, I like the play calling. I don't know if I like how Dalton is running it. So we'll see if in this matchup against Atlanta, if Cincinnati can actually hang. Can Dalton actually match Matty Ice? I don't know. I want to see that. That's the other 1 o'clock game that matters. And then finally, what's happening at 4 o'clock? Seattle's playing at San Diego. I think that's worth watching. I don't know if you're feeling on it.
Hell, no. I've always had a weird little hard-on for the Chargers. I always like seeing Seattle on the road because I feel their stadium is just so grossly unfair. I really do hate it. So I think Seattle only has 8 real games a year.
And that's pretty much it at 4 o'clock, unless you're like me and you're looking forward to Geno Smith taking the Jets to Lambeau to upset the Packers. I mean, you probably don't need to hear about that till I tell you I told you so next week.
Again, I'm not big on the Packers this year from what I saw. They that 15-1 year looks like such an aberration in hindsight.
Now, let me tell you the aberration. His name is Greg Jennings. He's now on the Vikings. So I think that that's going to be something they deeply regret this season. I think this is the time that they will more than any feel the pain of not having him on their squad anymore in Green Bay.
Oh, I would have gone with when they actually play the Vikings and he beats them, but
it could happen twice, man. At this point, I wouldn't put it past them.
All right, folks. You have been listening to Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papagiorgio. I was joined by Howard Flood. Say hello again, Howard.
Special thanks to our guest this week for our fan in focus segment, Josh Burns.
There you go. Look at you getting your chronology straight there. A joke that only you will get. Show's website is pfpod.com. Go there for all the subscription links. You can find Papa's Football Podcast on iTunes as well as Stitcher. Again, pfpod.com is going to have your links no matter how you want to subscribe to the show to get it. You can find them there. I tweet about games during the during this Sunday, as you would say if you're foreign or a very, very bad microphone presence. I tweet from at Papa's Basement. In papasbasement.com also has a bunch of links to the football stuff. So look at all of it. Kill some time. You're at work probably listening to this. You don't want to do anything productive. We are here to help. All right, folks. Till next week. We're gone.
Hello, this is my vagina.